Psalm number 1, the whole of Psalm. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that our heart's desire now would be to hallow God's name. It is a holy name, sacred, different, significant, descriptive of the God of Israel. I am that I am. And we read in the scriptures how we are forbidden to take God's name in vain, using it lightly or inappropriately, only using God's name properly, with reverence, respect, godly fear, deference, recognition that God is not only above us and over us, but unimaginably different to us. We confess, O God our Father, that sometimes we take the name of the Lord lightly and too frequently and too irreverently, and we use the name of the Lord so often as the world does, almost cursing and as an expletive. And we pray that as we begin this new year, as we begin this Lord's holy day, that we would show that due fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom, and that we desire also the coming of God's kingdom in this world in which we live, this poor, distracted, demoralized, and devastated world, depraved, and so often in darkness. And we pray that God's kingdom would be clearly proclaimed in the churches in these days of closure, in these days of greatly reduced gatherings. We recognize the human tendency is neglectfulness, and any excuse will do. And so we pray, our gracious God, that we would earnestly petition God in this our day to raise up not only preachers, but raise up hearers. Because preaching is important, but hearing the word properly is also important. Indeed, it is vital. And so we pray for hearers to be gathered in, to be awakened from the slumbers of death, and to be enlightened and enlivened into the glorious living realities that the gospel is history and prophecy, dealing with the things of the world, dealing with realities, the things that are unseen, eternal verities. And we pray that God's will would be done, and by us this morning, that our worship would be biblically governed, constrained, and indeed controlled, that we would be delivered from unworthy motives and unworthy activities, wandering minds, critical, angry hearts, but rather coming before the Lord in the courts of his house, desiring not only to hear what God would say, but also to do what God would say. And so as we begin this new year and as we begin this new day, our Father, help us, we pray, to think biblically, not simply the traditions of men or doing things because it's always been done this way, which in fact it has not always been done this way, but according to the scriptures, which can never be broken and which are the ultimate authority in all our thinking and practice. We pray that thy kingdom would come and God's will be done by us on earth as it is done in heaven. And so to this end, we pray for grace, and we pray for the Holy Spirit's leading. We pray for mercy to come to the throne of grace with clean hearts and for cleaner hearts. And we pray that we'd be thankful this day also that we have survived into this hour. We know that already in this new year, multitudes have died. We've heard of some who have died as a result of New Year's celebrations. And we pray, our God, that we would be thankful that still we are in the land of the living, in the presence of the open door of heaven and the offerings of grace and mercy and peace in the times of opportunity. And so we give thanks, O God, that we are here now and that others are joining with us in the telephone connection, and we pray that all together we would come and desire to know the Lord, to know him better, to know him not simply in terms of theoretical correctness, but in terms of practical obligation and the outworking of love. We pray for our fellow creatures, we pray for our neighbors, those who live next door to us, across the fence, across the street, as it were, those who are over us in high places, at every level of authority and government. We are commanded in the scriptures to pray for all in authority. And in these days of contradictions and confusions, when those in high places who must make decisions, those people given advice, contradictory advice from this place and that place and one expert and another expert, each with a good case to present and yet cannot both be right. And so we pray for those who must decide, that they would decide wisely and indeed godly, that we might live quiet and peaceable lives, and that in these days the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and the hearing of the gospel would not be hindered in any way, and that we would have the confidence that God hears our prayers and that Christ, our Savior, is building his church, come what may, in terms of appearance or opposition or even the apathy and the laxity of the church. So we come, Heavenly Father, with gratitude, with petitions, with devotion, we pray, and all for God's glory and all for our good, We pray this through Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and in chapter 7. We shall read through this chapter 7. Get my glasses out. Sometimes I can read the print, sometimes I can't. Strange. Matthew chapter 7, and from the beginning. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you give, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the little speck that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the little speck out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the little speck out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. He that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous, ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And so on. The notices, of course, our evening service at 6 p.m., our Wednesday service at 7 p.m., next Lord's services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also welcome visitors with us. If we have visitors this morning, we're glad to have you. And we are all, as far as I can see, wearing masks. The children under 12 years of age are exempted. And speakers, those whose task is verbal communication, we are exempted. But we all have to be cautious. I'm careful. I don't know just exactly how long this is going to last, but as long as the powers that be say it is compulsory, then we must comply. And to such a degree, and I'm putting you on notice in a sense, if anybody comes into the church not wearing a mask and refuses to wear one, I will not conduct the service. I don't want to be fined $14,000 for deliberately violating these public health rules. So somebody without a mask deliberately being objectionable will actually close off the service. So it's in our interest to hearing the gospel and taking care of one another, that we comply. At the end of the day, we're never sure of over much in this world. How effective the masks are, I've no idea. But these are the rules, and as long as they're in place, we must comply. So that's just a little comfort and a little bit of information. The offering will now be received. Psalm number 2, we sing to God's praise and glory from verse 1 to verse 7. Five stanzas, Psalm number 1, Psalm number 2.